Father, we thank you for your presence, your goodness, your graciousness. And Lord, I thank you for the things that sometimes might frustrate us. Lord, just the little things that go wrong remind us that it's not about us, it's about you. And God, we just pray for grace on those things. And we welcome your presence here right now, not because you haven't been present already, but because we want to acknowledge our desire for more of your presence and more of your grace, more of your mercy, more of your love, more of your goodness to be at work in our midst this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we finished our series, A Meal with Jesus, and now we're going to be starting a new sermon series called Thanksgiving, subtitled Gratitude Beyond Turkey. But I feel like we need to just take a minute and say that turkey's really good, because it is, all right? And but we're going to go beyond beyond turkey, and this is a good sermon series because my wife came up with it. And anytime my wife comes up with anything, it's generally a lot better than anything I come up with. So when she told me, hey, we should do a sermon series on Thanksgiving, I was like, that's so cheesy, we're not doing that. And then everybody I asked since then has said Thanksgiving, and I was like, yeah, that's what I was planning on doing. What are you talking about? Obviously doing that. So we're going to be doing that, and what we're going to do is we're going to spend the next four Sundays throughout November, and what we're going to do is we're going to work through different aspects of Thanksgiving. And in a sense, you can kind of look at these as like small devotionals or small little sermons focusing on different aspects of Thanksgiving. And so that's kind of the overall big picture for the month of November, is just looking at gratitude and looking at Thanksgiving. And today, some of you might be wondering, where are we going? And so I want to just kind of lay out kind of what we're going to do this month, but also about today. And so over the course of the next 4 weeks, we want to really talk about what does the Bible say about Thanksgiving. The Bible actually says a lot about gratitude and Thanksgiving. Another question that we might be asking is, how can we become more grateful? How can we become more grateful? And so that's another question we'll be looking at. And then finally, why is being thankful important? Because in the last week, actually, the more I thought about gratitude and thankfulness, the more I realized that it's actually probably one of the most important ways of living or orientations that Christians, especially Christians, should have. And so today, on today's menu, we're going to do basically two things. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. And what I want to do is spend a few minutes and look at it and really come to an understanding of the context of the passage. And so that way everybody understands exactly what Paul was trying to communicate in the first century, in the around 52 to 55 AD, kind of what he's looking at. And then after that, explore how to apply 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. And actually, just really quick, that right there, these two things are for me basically what we're going to do every Sunday as long as we can be doing things on Sunday mornings. Like for me, I feel like one of the things that we should spend our time doing in the sermon aspect is looking at texts of Scripture, understanding what that text of Scripture meant in its original context, because every one of the biblical authors actually had an intention behind what they were writing. But one of the things that many of us in this room probably feel, if you've been in the church for a long time, you might have experienced this, where you hear a sermon and it's all about the first century or, you know, 500 BC, and you understand the context of that passage. But if you're like a normal human being, you might be saying, so what? Like, how does that apply into my life? And I think one of the things that the Vineyard is always trying to be focused on, and at least acknowledging, is that cultural context matters. And we want to spend time understanding how to apply ancient texts into the current culture. Does that make sense to everybody? So it's like we want to understand what the text meant, but also what it means and how we can actually live it out. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And so if you have a Bible, we're going to be opening to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And as we do that, you can either follow along on your paper Bible or on your digital Bible, or you can look at the screen because we'll have it up there for us. So let's read 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. And Paul says this. He says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him, God has enriched your church in every way, in all of your eloquent words, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I think for a few minutes here, let's talk about a couple questions. First of all, what is Paul thankful for here? What is Paul thankful for? And that is part of the whole quest of trying to understand the original context or what the authors originally meant. And that is an important part of understanding Scripture. Can we just do a real quick poll? How many of you would be honest enough to say that sometimes the Bible is really, really difficult to understand when you read it? Anybody? Okay, pretty much everybody who's honest. How many of you would admit that it has been difficult in the past before you were a biblical scholar? Anybody? No? Okay, Ryan, thank you. There's another honest man. All right, so here's the thing. The Bible can be really complex at times. You know, the Scriptures were written by a variety of different authors over the context of thousands of years in two primary languages. The Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew, with portions of it written in Aramaic, and then the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, which was the common Greek language of the first century. And so you have a lot of details over the course of the 66 books that make up the Christian canon, the Christian Scriptures, all right? And I'm just going to tell you right now, as someone who has studied the Bible a lot, has studied the original languages and loves reading the Bible, is that there are times I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, whoa, I have no idea what that means. I've read all the commentaries, and I still don't understand what it means, okay? So let's just admit the Bible can be sometimes difficult, right? Fair enough? All right. However, I do think that there are ways that we can increase our understanding of Scripture, and one of the basic, easiest ways to do it is to get a Bible version that you can actually understand. And so if you're reading a version that uses words that you never, ever use in normal human life, I would encourage you to maybe move from that translation and get a translation that you can understand. And there's a variety of them. And I'd love to talk to you about that because it would be really fun for me to nerd out with you for like 2 minutes, all right? Is that okay? All right. Can I just be a nerd? All right. So here's the thing. There's two translations that you'll hear a lot at the Vineyard. And one of them is the New Living Translation, which I use all the time when I'm preaching. And I love it. And the reason why I actually came to the conclusion the NLT is a decent translation, and not by decent, I mean it's a really good one, is by just working through the book of Romans with the Greek New Testament and looking at other translations. And time again, the New Living Translation was actually a really accurate translation. Another translation that some of you have is the NIV. Anybody got an NIV in here? All right, NIV. It used to be that to be in the Vineyard, you had to have an NIV because that's what everybody preached from. But those are two great translations that can help you understand the Bible. And starting with the translation that you can actually read and understand is probably 85% of it. So what we're doing right now is we're starting to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 or chapter 1 verses 4 through 9, and we're asking the questions: what is Paul thankful for in this passage? And that'll help us understand the text in general. So what is Paul thankful for? Okay, well, we're looking at the text, and here's something that he makes very clear. He says, I always thank my God for you, for the Corinthian church, the local church, and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. So Paul, from the very beginning, says, hey, I'm thankful for the church, and I'm thankful for the gracious gifts that God has given to the church, to this local church that in the first century was located in the city of Corinth. Now, another question I think we might want to ask, though, is what else is Paul thankful for in this passage? Because if we look at it really closely, we'll see that Paul actually lists out a number of things that he found to be really, really important. And so I want to do that. We're going to, for a minute here, try to find gratitude in Corinth. Okay, what was Paul grateful for? And there's a number of things. Paul was thankful for the church. He already said that, the people. How many of you realize the church is not the building? Please say amen to that. It's so important. If we don't understand ecclesia, the Greek word, or ecclesia, if we don't understand that that's the people, the community, then we are going to totally miss what the church actually is. And so in our household, my wife will tell you, and my kids will tell you, and I've said this repeatedly, that whenever people say we're going to the church, I always say, you're going to visit every single person that comes to the Vineyard Church building? You're going to do that? And they're like, ugh, the office. Saying, hey, but it matters, because when this building, let me back up, I'm not going to say when, if this building blew up or burned down, if, huge if, not when, all right, If that happened, the vineyard in Red Bluff is not gone. Amen? It just, it isn't. We're going to find another place to meet. Hopefully it'll have air conditioning in the summer. Otherwise, I will die. But the point being is that the building is not the church. The church is the community, God's people. It's us. And so Paul was thankful for the people in the community. Paul was thankful for the gifts that God had given to the Corinthians. There were a lot of different gifts. And when you study the whole entire book, Paul actually mentions them repeatedly. Paul was thankful that God had enriched their community. There was a sense of depth, a sense of richness within that community. Paul was thankful that they had every spiritual gift that they needed. Just mark that in your brain. They had every spiritual gift that they needed. Paul was thankful for God's faithfulness in keeping the Corinthians faithful and strong. Paul was thankful that God had invited the Corinthians into partnership with Jesus. And those are the things that in those five verses that Paul lays out and actually says he's thankful for. These are the things that he's grateful for, okay? Those are the list of things that Paul was happy were happening and being experienced in Corinth. Now, after we've looked at that passage, I think the natural question for us should always be, and I encourage you, every time you read a passage of Scripture, you should be asking questions just like this. You should ask, what does the church of Corinth, or what does that passage of Scripture have to do with the vineyard in Red Bluff? And so what I want to do for the remainder of our time is talk about how that passage and those things that Paul was thankful for in the city of Corinth for the Christians that were there, how does that apply into our context here in Red Bluff, the great city of Red Bluff? Amen. Great city. In fact, in March when Don and I were driving up here to visit and preach for the first time, I remember when we were driving from San Diego and we're making our way on the 101, and how many of you have done that drive? It's beautiful, right? And so we're doing that, and I might have shared this, but we almost got a Mustang to rent. They were going to upgrade us, and I was super excited, and then Don just rained on my parade and was like, no, we can't get that because we have to bring our two kids and your mother. She said it just like that, too, because that's how she talks. She doesn't talk that way in front of you, but with me, it's different, right, Don? No, she doesn't. But that's how I hear it. I have a filter. Anyway, so she said, no, we shouldn't do that because we're going to pick up your mom and two of our kids in San Jose. And, you know, she said all nice. But anyway, so I was like, whatever. That is a mistake. We should have gotten it. We could have put one of the kids in the trunk or something. And as we were driving on 101, we saw like a Mustang that had hit the cliff and had gone off. And I was like, it's so good that I decided not to get a Mustang, Don. I just want to let you know. I'm really glad about that. And so basically my whole entire life is learning that my wife is way smarter than me. But we were driving up, but I remember when we got to San Jose, we picked up my daughters and then we drove another hour. And I think we were somewhere north of the bay, just around Sacramento. And we stopped and got Starbucks because you have to do that everywhere you go. And then we got in the car and started driving. And when we were about an hour and 15 minutes getting to Red Bluff, I just remember my heart just being so warm. Like, I couldn't wait to get here, even though I'd only been here one time, but I was excited to be in Red Bluff. And last night, we were in Anderson eating at this phenomenal Chinese restaurant and driving back, and I just remembered that. I was excited to go back to Red Bluff. We have an amazing city. Red Bluff is an amazing city. It is awesome. So the question is, how do we apply this passage from Corinth into this context of Red Bluff, of living in this amazing city and being in this amazing community? And so how can we apply this passage in our own context is kind of the question I want us to think about. And so I got three ideas really quick here, okay? This is how we're going to apply this, and I think we can get this from reading Paul's words here. The first is that we need to begin our lives with gratitude, all right? We need to begin our lives with gratitude. We need to be thankful. This is what's really interesting, and the reason why, after I spent some time thinking about Don's advice that we should do a sermon series on Thanksgiving and hearing a whole lot of other people say it, I realized that she is right, is because Paul almost always starts his letters with gratitude. Almost always. In fact, every time he's going to go into a long-winded oratory explanation as to why something is the way it is or it should be, he always starts with thanksgiving. Let me give you a couple examples of this just really quickly, okay? So we can see in Ephesians 5:20, Paul says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty basic right there. He also says to the Philippians, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Every time I think of you, I give thanks. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from Colossians. And then writing to Timothy, he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. All right? And then finally, writing to the Corinthians again in his second epistle, he says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. He's encouraging them to financially contribute to the Jerusalem church. He says, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. And so for us, the way we can apply this passage very easily is if we could just start beginning with gratitude. Actually, just as human beings, as followers of Jesus, as people, just being thankful from the very beginning. Okay? In other words, I think thankfulness should be the posture of our hearts. It's kind of like when we wake up, that's what we orient our lives to. We just are automatically thankful. Now, there's a great modern prophet alive among us today, and this is how Jerry Siegler says it. He says, you got to have an attitude of gratitude, all right? And if you know Jerry, you can totally picture him say that, right? All right, you like that picture, by the way? Yeah, his wife gave it to me, so if he's upset, that's why. All right, so here's the question, though, for us, maybe for a minute, is what if we started and ended each day celebrating and expressing gratitude to God? And this might be new for some of you, but what if every time you woke up, the first thing you did is you just thought about what you could be thankful for? And what if at the end of the day, you stopped and said, what can I be thankful for that day? I'm just telling you, even on the worst days, that'll help put things into context, won't it? It will. If you actually start by just expressing gratitude, or if you're like me, you spend a few minutes trying to think about and identify maybe where God's been at work, even if you didn't recognize it at that time, but maybe where God was at work and you can be grateful. So I think we should start that way. So that's the first thing. We need to begin with gratitude. I think another point we can learn from Paul is that we need to be specific in our thankfulness. Did you notice how he was really specific in listing out the things that he was thankful for? So we've already tried to find gratitude in Corinth. What if we actually moved over and looked at our context and tried to find gratitude in Red Bluff? I just took the text and I just applied it in the way that Paul did. I think we can be thankful for the church, the people in this room right now, and the people that are part of this community that aren't even here this morning. Okay, we can be thankful for them. There's many people in this room that I'm super thankful for, and I think there's many people in this room that you can be thankful for. We can be thankful for the gifts God has given to the vineyard in Red Bluff, and there are a ton of gifts that God has given us. We can be thankful that God has enriched our community. One of the things that Don and I both love about being in Red Bluff now is being with you, is being in your presence, being around you, because we just sense that there's a level of depth, there's a level of commitment here that we're really excited about, we're really happy about. And then I think we can be thankful that we have, there should be a we there, that we have every spiritual gift that we need. Now, I want to pause on that for a minute, because here's something I learned a few years ago, is that we need to start by being thankful for what we have, because what we need right now at this moment is in this room or as part of this community, okay? So look around you right now. All these people, you guys can look around. I just gave you permission. It's totally okay. They won't weird you out, okay? All right? Like, you look around and you're seeing all these people, and here's the good news. What we need on any given Sunday or at the moment is actually a part of our community, okay? I mean, that's one of the reasons why we haven't stopped asking for people to volunteer with our kids' ministry, because we have needs, and our assumption is that you in this room right now might be a solution to that need, that God might have specifically gifted you with the patience to be in a room with screaming kids, right? It's just the assumption that we have, right? But something else that I learned that I love is that we can also be praying for the needs that we think that we might have. We can be praying that God would bring those into our community. So case in point, when I was pastoring in Wisconsin, at about year 3 or 4, we started to grow to the point where we needed to have like someone who could kind of like be administratively, executively gifted, because that was not my orientation at that time. And so some ladies started noticing that, and they said, Luke, we're going to pray that God brings this person into our community. And I was like, good luck with that. That's not going to happen. That doesn't work. Prayer? Wait, I'm a pastor. Yeah, you're right. You should do that. All right? That's basically how the conversation in my mind went. And they started praying. And like a couple weeks later, we had this family show up on a Sunday, and they were exactly what God had for us. And they were able to step into, and they started serving in ways pretty quickly and helped us a ton. And so if we have needs, the first assumption is that they're in our community. And if we don't have them within our community, we need to pray that God brings them into our community. Does that make sense? That's what we're focused on and what we're trying to do. So we can be thankful that we have every spiritual gift that we need, all right? We can be thankful for God's faithfulness in keeping us faithful and strong. I mean, there's been story after story that I've heard where God has worked through people in this church that have actually enabled this church to continue going. Did you know that? There are people that have sacrificed many different things so that this church could still be around. Now, I'm not sure if it was a willing sacrifice or they were just stubborn. I'm not sure, all right? But sometimes that's exactly how God works, isn't it? He works through our stubbornness of giving up. We're not going to give up, and that's how he actually works, is through people like that. Now, I'm thankful for that. And then lastly, I think we can be thankful that God has invited us into partnering with Jesus for his mission. He's actually invited us into that. And our mission, we summarize it here at the Vineyard as is to know Jesus and to make him known. That's what we're about here. We want to know him deeply. We want him to change who we are and to transform us. And we're in the process of being transformed to become more like him. And then we're also sharing Jesus along the way with the world around us. So those are, the first is we need to begin with gratitude. Secondly, we need to be specific in our thankfulness. And if we're going to be specific in our thankfulness, I think we might want to just close our eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. And think about the answers to these three questions. First, what are we grateful for here at the Vineyard? And for you, what are you grateful for here at the Vineyard? That doesn't mean that we're perfect, so please don't assume that that's the assumption behind what I'm saying. But what are you thankful for here at the Vineyard? What are the things that you're thankful for? Who are we grateful for? Who are you grateful for? And then we need to also remember, why are we grateful? And with your eyes closed for just a second here, might I suggest this? If there are people that are coming to mind right now, or there are even things that other people are involved in that you're thankful for, I would encourage you to talk to them and tell them. And I don't mean me, just to be really clear here, okay? But there are people here that maybe God is bringing to mind, or people that you just appreciate. You're just like, wow, I really appreciate that they do this. It does not hurt to let people know. Because most people, I would venture to guess, that serve or do little things don't always know that those things matter. Amen? All right. And then lastly, determine in your heart to be a grateful person, like right now. Those are the three things that I get from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is that we need to begin with gratitude. We need to be specific in our thankfulness. And then I think we need to determine in our hearts that we're going to be grateful people. Like, we're actually going to start in that mode. And if you are like myself, then you might struggle with that. Like, I happen to be the kind of person that is really, 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 really good at being a critical thinker, which is what I say, but Don says being critical. Okay? All the ladies in the room are like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Because there's a difference between being a critical thinker, though, and just being orientated to being critical. And I tend to be that way. I tend to think in those terms. And so it's actually a spiritual practice for me to actually wake up and make myself orient my life around this idea of being grateful. And I have to determine to do that. I have to say I'm going to do that. Because if I don't do that, it's so easy to not get to the positive side of life. And so, would you just stand up with me now? Paul says this. The Apostle Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And for just a minute here, can we just, let's just wait and see maybe what what the Holy Spirit wants to just keep doing. Because I think there's two things that I felt like the Lord wanted us to pray into. But just for a minute here, let's just maybe just calm our hearts and just close our eyes if we need to and just stand and just try to press into what Paul's talking about here, like being grateful, being thankful. And so, Lord, just as we're standing and wanting to apply what the Bible says and applying what Scripture is teaching here, would you help us just for a minute here, Lord, to be grateful? We've already taken a few minutes here, and we've been thinking about who we can be grateful for, what we can be grateful for, but would you just right now give us a greater measure of gratitude? Lord, even for the simple things like breathing, or Lord, for me, Lord, just the weather. I love you. I love the rain, Lord. I thank you for that. And I felt like the Lord wanted us to pray for two things. The first one is this. It's just that there's a number of you in this room right now that I just felt like the Lord was saying that you feel either overlooked or just super underappreciated. Unappreciated or underappreciated. And as I was praying about that all week, it just dawned on me. And as I was thinking about it this morning, that like that's probably a lot of us, if not all of us in this room. Like, every week there are a variety of people that are sacrificing and doing things, not only for just this church, but just in your life. Like, where you're at work at, or what you do in your family. I mean, moms, dads, grandparents. There's a lot of sacrificing that goes on. And sometimes those things are just not even noticed. Or they're noticed, but no one ever says thank you. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted us just to take a minute right now and ask the Holy Spirit to just bring some healing there. I think there might be some people in this room that, you know, like your life is kind of orientated in that direction. Like you feel like nobody sees you, or that your contributions are overlooked. And so if that's you right now, we're not gonna ask you to do anything weird, but maybe it's weird to you. But in the Vineyard, we like to do, we believe that the things that we do with our bodies actually matter. We have an embodied spirituality. And so if that's you, if you feel like you just want to have God just give you some, just to love on you and give you some appreciation and maybe just hear that you matter, we just invite you to just hold your hands out like this. This is one of the things we do here. And it's a way for us to almost in our bodies to say, God, we want your presence right now. And so if you struggle with those things, if you feel like you're overlooked or underappreciated, you can just keep your eyes closed and just lift your hands up like this, and I just want to pray for you. No one's looking around at you right now, too, because I know there's a number of you that need to receive that prayer. So if you're feeling overlooked or underappreciated. So, Father, I just pray right now for anybody in this room that feels that way. Would you just come right now? And would you come and bring more than just peace, God? I pray that you would come and bring your presence in a fresh way. Lord, I pray for moms in this room right now that are like totally on empty and are feeling like they have given every last ounce of energy. Would you just come right now and just give them more of your presence? Give them energy, give them strength to just keep on doing what they're doing. Lord, I thank you that moms and dads that are faithful get to see the fruit of that. But sometimes it's a long time, God. And so just bring energy and refreshment to any parent in this room or any grandparent right now. And then Secondly, really quick, last week, Don and I were given a card, and I opened it, and it was full of just lots of gifts, and it was really nice, and Don and I were at home, and we're like, oh my gosh, and I had, like, I guess there's pastor appreciation or some crap like that, and I know. But I was really, we were so grateful and thankful. And so I just want to say I'm thankful for everybody here. For those of you that contributed to that, thank you so much. But one of the things I was sharing with Linda Sigler, I really struggled with, I've always struggled with that pastor appreciation crap. And one of the reasons why is because I hope we can have a culture here at the Vineyard where we appreciate each other more than just once a month or one time a year. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. I just was always like, does this mean that people aren't thankful in January? And I know that's not true, but like, I felt like the Lord wanted us to press into this second thing was that we would all right now just commit to be a place, a community where we practice the art of affirmation. And that's why I want to go back to that previous suggestion that if there's somebody in this room that you're thankful for, or there's things that people do that you're thankful for, would you just tell them that? Like, that's how we can actually be a community where people feel appreciated, rather than being a community where everybody feels like they're just the only reason why they matter here is because they do something or give money or they fill a seat. Because if that's your impression, that's not what we think here at the Vineyard. Amen? Like, we value, I want you to know that God values you for who you are, and I'm thankful that you're here, and I just want to bless you. And so, Father, Lord, I just pray right now as we just are standing here in your presence, would you just bless every person in here, and then, Lord, would you also move us as a community to become more appreciative, Lord, better at expressing appreciation for people. And so, Lord, we just bless that. We ask that you would move in that area, that we would all become encouragers. We would all become people who are grateful and who express gratitude to those around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. We're going to invite the band to come back up right now, and they're going to close us with a song. And after that song's done, feel free to mingle in here, have a cup of coffee, say hi to somebody. But I would really encourage you to say thank you to somebody in this room that you are appreciative to. Amen? Amen. All right.